Okay, I am filling in today for Mr. Jim. As you well know, Mr. Jim had a log hit him on the head. I was waiting for him to come before I said this, made this statement, but it's a good thing it hit him on the head as opposed to someplace where he could get hurt, you know. So I'm filling in for Mr. Gaith this morning, and I have taught this lesson a number of times in the past, and what it is, it's probably the best Bible college class, you know, just one class that I'd ever gone to or had ever been taught, and I wanted to have the opportunity to share it with you guys. I didn't think I was going to until Mr. Pardon?
I can finish that for you if you want.
Okay, if anybody else comes in, you can give them one. And so the page we want to start in is the one that does not say exile, pre-exile. Turn it over just a second. The one that says pre-exile, exilic, pre-exilic, exilic, and post-exilic. That's the side we don't want to start on. We want to start on the other side. And so what we're going to talk about this morning is just sort of an overview, a picture of the Old Testament. And it was, as I said, one of my best Bible college classes that I went to, because it sort of gave me a picture of how the Old Testament fit together. Because how many of you already knew that the Old Testament was not written in chronological order from the book of Genesis to Malachi? How many of you already knew that? Okay, good. So we're all on the same page. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through this little outline that we're talking about and sort of fill in the pieces, you know, what took place where. And so what this does for you is it gives you an opportunity whenever you're reading in a certain place to know, you know, what's going on at that point in time in the other parts of, other parts of Scripture or those kinds of things. You can see, where it fits into the whole scheme of things. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you that we have this first day of the week where we can get together as your children and to celebrate the wonderful resurrection of Jesus. And I just pray, God, that you'd never allow us to just take that as the ordinary and not the supernatural gift that it was for us to have everlasting life. And help us to enjoy it, help us to relish it, help us to be in awe of the wonderful love that you have given to us. And we pray, Lord, for our teaching time this morning as we think about the books of the Old Testament and how they fit together. I pray that you'd help us to understand maybe some things that we've never understood before. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we start going through the thing that's the piece of paper that I have there in front of you, what I like to do is talk about genre. there's different kinds of genre in the Old Testament, okay? Who knows what I'm talking about whenever I talk about genre? Yes, sir. What are we talking about when we talk about genre?
Different focus of different books is different. Like, you have poetry, you have history.
Okay, the style of writing is different in different books of the Bible. Like, if you're reading the Psalms, you realize that the Psalms are pretty much poetry, and you're reading other places and it's the law, you're reading other places, it's a narrative. And so in the Old Testament, there is several different kinds of genre. Now, we understand genre because whenever we read the newspaper, there is different kind of genre that we read in the newspaper, right? If you're reading a story about somebody being in a traffic accident, usually it's a narrative. You know, they were driving along the road and all of a sudden a deer jumped out in front of them and they swerved to the right and, you know, hit the guardrails and, you know, yada, yada, yada. It would be a story, a narrative like that. But you'll turn to another section where it'll say 19, let's do a a more update one. 2019, CHEV, period, 2DR, 4x4, and you read through that and you say, what?
It's too high price.
It's too much money, okay? But you get the idea that that's a, you know, that's not a narrative. What is it? That's a classified ad for something. Okay. Now, if that classified ad was in a narrative, we'd say, "Whoa, what's going on here?" But the classified ad's in the classified section, and so we know how to read it. And so the same thing is true in the whenever you're looking at scripture, that you read scripture in the way that it is, you know, the way that is written. You read poetry as poetry, you read narrative as narrative, you read prophecy as prophecy, and it helps us to you know, to understand we have different things. So the first one, first kind of a genre that we have in the Old Testament is we have the Torah or the law. Now, usually we say the law is, you know, from Genesis through the book of Deuteronomy, but you realize that whenever you start reading in the book of Genesis, there are a number of narratives. In fact, Genesis has lots of narratives. In fact, Genesis is probably all a narrative book, but because it's, you know, called the law, because it's part of the writings of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, we talk about that as being the law. But usually whenever you're reading the law, you think more like Leviticus, or you think of Exodus, or you think of Deuteronomy, the second reading of the law, where, you know, God is saying, you know, you do this and you do that and you do this and you do that and don't do this and don't do that. That's usually what you think about whenever you're thinking about the law. So you have that kind of a writing. Then you have a historical narrative, and that would be usually Joshua through Esther would be the books that you would normally think about in that. But there are also narrative sections in different parts of the you know, of the scriptures. In the prophetic books in Isaiah, there are some narrative texts there. As we already said, in the book of Genesis, you know, there's lots of narrative there. And usually narrative, when we're talking about that, is we're talking about, you know, telling a story, telling an account of what has taken place. And so we have that kind of a narrative. Then we have the poetry and different styles of poetry that we see in the Old Testament. Yes, sir.
Are we supposed to be filling this?
No. That has nothing to do with the chart thing that we're going to do. I mean, you can write this down if you want to. It's not inspired or anything like that, but you can jot it down. So the poetry books are Job through the Song of Solomon. And again, different kinds of poetry, but we see poetry that is written into the passages of Scripture. And then the last one that we have is prophecy. And again, prophecy is read, understood in a different way than the narrative, the historical, than the law, than the prophecy. And usually, again, we're thinking about the whole of the writing of the prophetic books, and they would be Isaiah through Malachi. That would include the major prophets, the minor prophets, all the way through the end. So just to give you a little bit of an idea to thinking about, you know, whenever you sit down to read, and then you have some different kind of narratives different kinds of genre whenever you get into the New Testament. Because you get into the New Testament, you have Paul's epistles, you have Acts, which would be more of a historical narrative. You have the Gospels, which are again in a different sort of style for reading. So when you're thinking about the Bible, there's different kinds of narratives written by different people. Okay, questions about that? Okay, so let's go on to the Old Testament chronology. Now, and whenever we're talking about the Old Testament chronology, whenever you, we're going to start clear over there on the left. And what you want to see there is as you go across, the main line in the middle is that is time is passing. Okay, that means that, you know, Genesis, you know, time passes during the month, during the time of Genesis, and then you have Exodus, and time is passing during Exodus. But Leviticus, you know, there's no time passing during Leviticus. So whenever we're talking about this timeline, you'll see this as we go along. So the first book of the Bible, obviously, is the book of Genesis. And so we, a book of the law. Then we have Exodus that fits in right after the book of Genesis. And again, when you read through the book of Genesis, we start where? Start at creation, and whenever we leave them off, they are in Egypt, right? Yeah, they're in Egypt. And then whenever you start in the book of Exodus, they are in Egypt in the beginning of the book of Exodus, and then we go on and they're traveling in the wilderness. So, time is moving forward, okay? Then the next one we get to the book of Numbers, okay? Now you say, "Uh-oh, we skipped some." Well, we're going to fill those in because they are not books that actually proceed us along the timeline of getting to the end. So we have the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, the book of Numbers, and then we have after that. Oops, went too fast. Then we have the book of Joshua. Okay, we're ready to go into at the end of the book of Numbers. We have wandered in the wilderness now for the 40 years, and now we get to the book of Joshua. And what happens in the book of Joshua? Now we're ready to go into the promised land. So, time is moving forward. So we go through the book of Joshua. We're going through there and we're having the battles and we're taking over kingdoms and we're dividing the land and all of those kinds of things. And then we get to the book of Judges. What do we do in the book of Judges? Well, that's where the people forgot all the things that God had done and all the blessings. They began to worship and serve some of the gods that were in the land. God brought judgment, and then they gave them relief through the judges, and then God would bring judgment again, and then he'd bring them relief during judges. And again, just, the time was moving forward in the book of Judges. Then we get to the end of the book of Judges. We come to 1st and 2nd Samuel, and here they said, what do we want to do? We want to be like all the other nations. We want to have a king. And so God said, okay, we're going to, we'll give you a king. And so we have 1st and 2nd Samuel, and by the time we get to the end of 2nd Samuel, we've pretty well gone through David's life. Okay, and then after 1st and 2nd Samuel, then we have 1st and 2nd Kings, where God has gone down through all of the different kings of the nation of Israel, the nation of the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, and you notice that we have a division, a sort of a dividing line right there, and then we skip over to the next page, and so we'll stop right there as far as the timeline goes along, but we want to go back now, and we want to see what kind of other books were written during this time frame. Okay, so most people believe that Genesis was the time that the book of Job was written. So Job was probably one of the really early books of the writing of the Old Testament. So when exactly during the time of Genesis, we don't know when that was, but at some point in time, probably during the time of Genesis, that was the writing of the book of Job. And then we have Leviticus was written during the time of the Exodus, okay? And what is Leviticus? Leviticus is, telling us how to, to live out these, ceremonial and sacrifices and all of these things that God had set forth. And again, there's no time passing during the time of Leviticus. It's during the time of Exodus that God is giving them that so that they can remember and they can do it. Then we get to Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy is what? Deuteronomy is the second reading of the law, okay? So they had read through the law initially, and now they're going through it again because they're getting close to going into the promised land, and so they're reading over the law again, so they're ready to go into the promised land and keep all the laws and feasts and Sabbath days and all of those kinds of things and do what God wanted them to do while they were there. So we have the second reading of the law. So a lot of what Deuteronomy is already been said in the book of Exodus. You know, where do you find the two copies of the Ten Commandments? You find one in Exodus, you find one in Deuteronomy, because your Deutero is two, you know, reading of the law for the second time. Okay, questions so far? Excuse me. Okay, so let's go on. Now we have one more that's written during the time of the judges, the book of Ruth, and it's again a narrative kind of thing that was written, and that was during that time. Then we have over in underneath 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, we have this thing called 1 and 2 Chronicles. 1 and 2 Chronicles interesting because what it does is summarizes or picks out, you know, from God's point of view, the things in 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings that God wanted us to remember, to understand, or just to be reiterated to the nation of Israel. And so 1 and 2 Chronicles, was written during that time, or maybe towards the end of 1 and 2 Kings. I'm not sure whether that was one sitting it was written, or a short period of time, or over a period of time. And then during the time of 1 and 2 Samuel, we have the Psalms. And again, all of the Psalms were not written during the time of 1 and 2 Samuel. But the reason we put it there is because so many of the Psalms were written by David, and David would be there on the scene during the Samuel time, specifically 2 Samuel. And so we have we have the Psalms that are written there. And then you get over into the book of 1 and 2 Kings, and now we're talking about which one of the kings that did a prolific amount of writing. It would be Solomon, right? And so Solomon wrote many of the Proverbs. And again, not that all of the Proverbs were written at this point in time, but many of them were written by Solomon. They were written at this point in time. Solomon also wrote Ecclesiastes. Solomon wrote Song of Solomon. And then we have our first glimpse at a minor prophet, and that is the minor prophet Joel. He was the earliest of the prophets that was writing, and so we have a picture of him. And then we have these three interesting fellows here, Nahum, Jonah, and Obadiah. Okay, now I understand that Nahum, Jonah, and Obadiah is where the pages of your Bible is stuck together, right? Because we haven't read those boys in a long time. But there's something interesting about the three of them. What is the thing that's interesting about the three of them? I mean, other than the great fish story in Jonah. I mean, I'm that's not what I'm talking about. The three of them have something in common. Pardon? They were prophets. They were minor prophets. But who did they write to? Okay, Jonah wrote to bringing the Assyrians to do what? To repent. Nahum is the idea of again to the Assyrians, and the book of Obadiah was written to the Edomites, talking about the judgment that was going to fall upon them. So really they were directed towards other nations, not to the nation of Israel. And obviously it had to do with what was going on with the nation of Israel, and Jonah was a prophet of God, but the story goes towards the Assyrians and to the Edomites for those things. But again, those were things that were written during the time of 1 and 2 Kings. Comments, thoughts, questions? Okay, man, you guys are just soaking this up like nobody's business. Go ahead, John.
Why is the arrow on Ruth just an arrow and you can't see it as well?
You know, I was fiddling with my computer yesterday, and I thought the very same thing. And so I highlighted that, and I tried to get it to be bolder, and you know what? It wouldn't do it. So the answer to that is, I don't know. I should have called Jeffrey and had him. If I'd known you were going to be stickler about that, I would have called Jeffrey and I'd have had him fix that for me. I'm just teasing, John. Good question. Okay, so the dividing line there, okay, is the break between the northern and the southern kingdom. Okay, so let's jump over to the back. Now, let me ask you, what are we talking about when you hear these words sometimes? Pre-exilic, exilic, and post-exilic. Usually prophets go after each one of those. What is a pre-exilic prophet? What is an exilic prophet? And what is a post-exilic prophet?
Before they were, well, go ahead.
Go ahead, Risa.
I was going to say, before, during, and after the exile.
Good. Before, during, and after the exile. Right, good. And so pre-exilic prophets would be before the exile. Now, if you want to put a couple of dates in there, if you go up on the top and see that little one sticking up on top, the date there would be 722 BC. That's when the northern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Assyrians. And then down on the bottom, if you were to go over right before, I have a pointer on here, don't I, Jeffrey? Oh, that wasn't it. That pointed me the wrong direction. Now we got to go through all this again. Oh, here I'm revealing secrets that I shouldn't be revealing.
You're all right.
Okay. Okay. So right. Right here is the. This is the end of the southern kingdom. Yeah, the southern kingdom here. Whenever they went into exile, but they came back again. So this was 586 BC, right there for when the southern kingdom was taken by Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel and all of those things that went on. So 586 goes right there. Okay. So during the time of second Kings, we have this. The division of the northern and the southern kingdom, okay? So that's why we divide. So going to the north is the northern kingdom, and the northern kingdom would be all the tribes except for Judah and Benjamin, okay? And so the writing to them are two prophets, Amos and Hosea. They would be the ones that wrote, articles of, prophecies to them saying, you need to repent, you need to turn back to God, you need to, to get things straightened out with God. And so again, Amos and Hosea would be pre-exilic prophets writing to the northern kingdom. And then we go down to the southern kingdom, and we have Isaiah and Micah, where would be contemporaries, and they are writing to the southern kingdom, telling them, you need to turn back to God, you need to repent of your sins. You have read through Isaiah, and see his call for people to do that. After the writing of Isaiah and Micah, would be Habakkuk and Zephaniah, would be two of the minor prophets that wrote to. To the southern kingdom, and again, their message was to repent, turn back to God. And then you have underneath that, at about the same time of Habakkuk and Zephaniah, you would have Jeremiah. And most people think that Jeremiah actually was alive whenever in 586 BC, and may have been taken captive. I mean, that's speculation on that, but may have been taken captive in that in the exile by the Babylonians. Okay, and then during the exile, the exilic prophets would be Daniel. Okay, what's the stories about Daniel? Daniel was where? In Babylon, right? And he was in Babylon, and he was doing what in Babylon? That the Lord was doing some amazing things in him. And again, Ezekiel would be a contemporary to him, writing during the time of the exile. And then after they came back from the exile, after they returned back to the land again, then you have the book of Ezra written. And after that, you have Nehemiah building the, one's talking about building the temple, one's talking about building the wall. And again, that would be the, you know, the timeline going, you know, going forward. And then you have a couple of prophets that wrote during that time, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and the book of Esther would all be written during during that point in time. So whenever you read, you know, those books, realize that, you know, you have now come back from the exile. They had been gone away, and now they have returned to the you know, to the land again, and they are trying to give them encouragement to, you know, to follow God, to do the things that are right, to you know, to walk with the Lord. So that's all of the, how many books are there in the Old Testament? 39? Is that what it is? Walt, 39? 39 books in the Old Testament. That should be all 39. Did anybody check for spelling? Questions about that? And that's just, you know, and what I wanted to do is I wanted to throw out to you how they, you know, how they all fit together at, you know, at that point in time. So now whenever you read the book of Jeremiah, realize that, you know, here we are, we're getting close to the time whenever they're going to go into exile, and, you know, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet, you know, the fact that, you know, this judgment is going to come. Daniel was in Babylon, Ezekiel was writing during this this same time. So it just gives you a feel for those kinds of things. So thoughts, comments, questions? Okay, let's do one more thing, and let's put some dates on things that took place in the past. And I don't know that these are, you know, 100% accurate, but I think they're pretty close. Okay, the Genesis—that's where we started. Let me just go down through these, and the end of the book of Genesis. Most people say about 850 BC. Okay, so you think about that for a second and say, you know, when was the, you know, when was creation? So, you know, probably most of us here would be an early earth creation people that, you know, that God probably created, you know, 4,000 years, 6,000 years, you know, something like that before the time of Christ. And so, you know, the Genesis covered a lot of, you know, a lot of years. And you think about, you know, the amount of growth that would have to go on in the world to have that amount of people. And so you have a you have a good time frame, frame there. The Exodus, or the end of Exodus, whenever they came out of the Exodus, I think this one is pretty close, that the Exodus happened around 1444, something like that. So, you know, 1440 some years before the Lord Jesus, that's whenever the children of Israel escaped out of their bondage into began to wander in the wilderness. Okay, the end of the book of Numbers, the beginning of Joshua, whenever they went into the to the promised land, they're figuring about 1405. Again, you know, just, you know, 40, 50 years after the time of the Exodus. And then, the book of Joshua, another, 1380 is the idea there. The end of the book of Judges, whenever, before they, set up kings was about 1080, the end of book of, excuse me. 970, the one date that everybody is really sure of is that the completion of the first temple was at 963 BC. That's, you know, pretty standard. I think everybody, you know, sort of holds to that number. So the beginning of, you know, first and second Kings, you know, 970, you know, 970, something, something like that. And so that just, you know, sort of gives you an idea of, you know, where we are as far as the time, you know, the years since, you know, all these things took place. So we're, you know, we're at 2020, so 2,200 years after Christ, so another 1,000 years before that. So, you know, we're talking about 3,000 years for the first temple, and then after that, destroyed and rebuilt, and all the things that went along with that. So, just give you sort of an idea here of where they are in a time frame. So,
I have something to add.
Go ahead.
Is that what I'm up there?
Pardon? Go up there and point at that thing? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I was just trying to share something with y'all. You know, sometimes some people always trying to be as accurate as possible about what the Lord's been working on my heart about the timeline, about his timeline. Okay. You see the difference between these two?
Yep.
And look at the difference there.
Yep.
I see Christ has a timeline and his holiness, not the timeline, but look at about how many years it's changed. And I know I pray for everybody by having patience. But does patience do with Christ's patience? In the same line with what we're doing here.
Right. The you know, the people were looking for Messiah to come clear back in the early part of the Old Testament, you know, for Messiah to come. And you know what does Galatians says, when the fullness of time was come, Christ sent his son. And you know, so say they waited, you know, say that they understood the beginning of Genesis, and that they were knowing that you know, this Redeemer, this one, was going to come and, you know, crush his head, and all of those things. He understood that. They waited for you know, a couple thousand years. And how long have we been waiting for you know, for the Lord Jesus Christ to return in the rapture of the church? A couple thousand years, right? So you just need to be patient. Because you know, the Lord's timing is always the right timing, and He provides what we need at that point in time. So, yes, sir, Walter, go ahead.
And to help out on your chronology between creation and the flood, they estimated it was 1,656 years in the time between creation and the flood, because Noah lived to be 600 some odd years.
From creation to the flood was 1,600. Okay.
Yeah, I did that. Follow through the genealogy in Genesis, and you can lay those out, and it comes out to exactly 1656. That's correct.
1656 for the flood to take place.
From beginning of creation. That's
to the flood.
Forward, not backwards.
Right. Okay, so then you'd need to calculate the 1650, somehow calculate.
I was 2 years off, and I went back and checked, and I missed where somebody turned 172, and the dash 2 was on the next line, and I missed it. So I got there about 1650.
That's hard to believe that you'd make a mistake being an accountant and everything like that. You know, I just assume everything was right on the nose. Good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
Also, Ruth, the timeline that you have for Ruth, you know, she married Boaz, who
yep.
was the descendant of Salmon by the harlot Rahab. So you would have been in the first generation after the conquest here. So
first generation after. Say it again. First generation.
Her first husband died, and she comes across with her mother-in-law, and she arranges him to meet Boaz,
Right, that all the names aren't written in the thing. Yeah, good thought. Anyone else? Okay, let's pray and we'll be done. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful to you for giving us this wonderful book called the Bible. Thank you, God, that it's true, it's unchanging, and most of all that it works in our life and shows us who you are, and we love you and praise you for that. Give us a good worship service now, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.